is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
The aftermath of every social revolution brings about change. Cultural norms and landmarks shift as our minds and hearts expand beyond the familiar. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose in the land of the living. This is our time to renew, revive, and restore the hope lost to the busyness of life. This is our time to dig again and rebuild from the storms of our past on a solid footing that holds. Welcome to The Foundation.
The Foundation. Foundation. Foundation.
The Foundation with Hart Grant is brought to you by Alive, BPL, Burger King, Central Bank, the Cleveland Clinic, Commonwealth Foundation. Bank, the Department of Public Health, Epic Battery, McBride Caribbean, Nassau Cruise Port, Pinder Towel, Popeyes, Prince Masters, and Mars Electric Motors.
Grabbing up on my friends,
I could be the first one there.
Oh yeah. Everything getting told. Yes, I drop my car on the road,
then jump on the hammer's out.
I got my money, oh I got my yeah. I even got my own bar. You can't believe I don't care. I ain't missing one spot this year.
Cause I'm an island man.
I go into it
drunk.
If my need they got them ballers, oh yeah, I'm island above. Yeah, big sun in our island.
I'm a Kobe, Kobe sailing.
Party lit in the Bahama, oh yeah, I'm island above. Here we go, here we go. What's the I'm just like gotta go, you say got the best car in the world.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio, Howard Grant in your company, The Foundation, beautiful Tuesday out here, June 17th. Guys, if you're celebrating your birthday, happy birthday to you, and I pray that the Father continues to watch over you, pours into you with his grace and his mercy, expands your territory, and that you move in the direction with passion and a dead set focus on the purpose that you've been called to in this season, in this time. It's time for us to be able to get up out here and make some things happen. Grateful to be here again with you another day. Grateful to jam with you and continue to be able to talk the way that we are. And shout out to all those persons that continue to be able to sponsor our show. We are grateful to you always being able to keep us here and keep the bills paid. God bless you. Praise God for you. All right. Newspaper, all the information's in the paper. And we are in for a hell of a conversation today. I want you guys to join me. 323-6232-325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere for the family of islands, 242-300-5720. Hit me up, 422-4796. I got to start it like that because I'm looking at these things. And the concept and idea of sovereignty continues to, it's elusive. It's pronounced, but it's rather elusive as it relates to being able to grab hold of it. It's like Casper. Yeah, this sovereignty, the idea of being able to capture it is elusive for the 45 million of us in this region. Yeah, yeah. We are continued to be able to be slaves to the whims and the desires of the United States of America, right? Yeah, yeah. For what they identified based upon where whatever, you know, administration's in, whatever political organization is in, based upon whatever they say, we're finding ourselves in this kind of a position where we have to quickly shift, pivot quickly, to be able to ensure that we can accommodate them whilst relentlessly being able to remind them that we are friends, we have been comrades for a long time, We're allies. Yeah. It's peculiar because there's no consideration given for the... Let's talk about it, guys. Pick up your Guardian newspaper. All the information's in there. Pause on Cuban workers. This is right here at the top of the Guardian newspaper. It says, Davos says the contracts of the Cuban agencies will be canceled. The government has paused a controversial program with the Cuban, with Cuba, which recruits teachers and healthcare professionals for work in the Bahamas. Ministry of Health and Wellness, Dr. Michael Dalvo told Parliament yesterday, Dalvo said that the government will cancel its existing contracts with Cuban recruitment agencies and enter into a direct employment contracts with Cuban healthcare workers who are currently in the Bahamas. This is peculiar because this is a slippery slope. Okay? Now, when we start to talk about communism, when we start to talk about this sort of an idea, we're not even going to mention the embargo. We're not going to mention that kind of proximity to the United States of America. We're not going to mention the fact that the wet foot, dry foot thrives under the Democratic rule, and then Republicans find themselves in this kind of position of everything. We're seeing the perpetuation of that. Let's talk. Let's have a very clear conversation today. Okay? But we're going to talk about this. And I won't go slow for you, so we could be able to break it down and ingest it, small morsels by morsel, to make a determination as to whether or not the sovereignty that we speak of as our chest is proud and protrudes, and we say, oh, we are a sovereign nation. We have autonomy unto ourselves. The sovereignty that we speak of is relentlessly manipulated and shifted based upon the whims and the desires of an external entity. This is bananas to me. Let's talk about this, right? So let's read it, right? So it says, Davos said that the government will cancel the existing contracts with the Cuban recruitment agency. Now, the Cuban recruitment agency is an agency of the state. Just like China Construction America is an agency of the state. Okay. We're getting somewhere today. We can get somewhere. We can take our time, but we can get there, all right? Cuban recruitment agency and enter into direct employment contracts. Direct employment contracts with healthcare workers who are currently in the Bahamas. Healthcare workers who work in the United States of America. I'm sorry, who work in the Bahamas and were given a job and education by the state from they was little children. From you was nothing. And you grow in Cuba, you are afforded an opportunity to be able to get free education right up to university, to Universidad. Education is paramount. When I was in Cuba in 2000, there was a literacy rate of, I think, 97% for 11.9 million people. 97% literacy. So Cuba takes education serious. They really do. And so now you would have matriculated through this entire system all this time as a Cuban, as a Cubano. You don't know anything else outside of this particular space. This is where you've been. You've matriculated through this system as a Cubano, acquired information, education, and was afforded an opportunity to be able to go elsewhere and show this skill set that you have. Yeah, because you have shown us in Cuba that you are so sharp, you are moving leaps and bounds, whether that's in HIV medicines, whether that's in cancer treatments, whether that's in other areas and medicines and whatnot, that you're making significant leaps and bounds and the world has recognized you. You didn't do that yourself. You are a willing participant. You are teachable. You are teachable, trainable, coachable. Cuba continues to evolve and expand from an educational standpoint and reach out, not necessarily only into the United States of America, but reach out into deep spaces in the world, identify intellectuals and bring them in and teach Cubans. You were a recipient of that. As a result of being able to be a recipient of that, the Cuban government, one of its offshoots, which is now Cuban Recruitment Agency,
has a responsibility of being able to assist globally. They're looking to see how they can be able to help. Exact same thing during COVID. They're looking to see how they can help. We got skills. We want to be able to help. Boom. And they're doing that. Now, Marco Rubio comes on. Let me pull this story up so I can be able to talk to you about this. Marco Rubio, in his particular capacity as Secretary of State of the United States of America, has taken on this kind of a strong position and indicated that there should be some consideration to these things, the overview of these things. Let's look at this. I pulled it up. Right? It talked about the timeline from June 4th, the policies of these particular things. Now this is heavy to me because I went through this and I dissected. I've made an entire show for this because yesterday you and I had this good conversation and say that we will be talking about, today we're going to take the time to talk about immigration. And right at the forefront, we're finding these particular things, which is an immigration issue, but not necessarily from the whims and the position of us and the empowerment that we have and the sovereignty that we have. We're still being able to shift and make these determinations as to whether or not we move left, right, or stay dead center based upon what's happening from an external standpoint. I think this is bananas. I think it's bananas. I think it's a peculiar thing that we're still finding ourselves in this kind of a position that we only flirt with the idea of sovereignty. So Marco Rubio, I think it was back in March, took on this kind of a position that spoke about the fact that you don't want to be hiring these things. It's almost like sort of a wagging of his finger and saying, mine. He's taken on this kind of a position and he's done that. The Bahamas government had to be able to almost stop and review this particular thing. So now we recognize that it's been canceled as a result of what's happening from an external standpoint. They stopped, they reviewed, they identified these things. And what I believe is bananas, I think this is absolutely bananas, that you supersede the government that actually dispatched these particular individuals to you and you go directly to them. I need to know more information because the Cuban government may not even accept these people no more who have families in Cuba. So you place them between a rock and a hard place, knowing that we're desperate for the assistance and being able to assist because we need healthcare workers in this country. They need to be dispersed, like he said in the story, to the family of islands, which is an acceptable thing. I'm not going to fight you for that. But have we, in our capacity, with a desire to relentlessly be able to ensure that America is satisfied, have we considered that being able to offer these individuals a job from this country, what did that mean? What does that mean? Continuously going to offer them a visa, a green card, residency, permanent residency in our space? Are we simultaneously going to offer them citizenship? What about accommodations? Are we going to simultaneously offer them accommodations to ensure that they're comfortable? I don't understand the thought pattern. Was this sort of an eager approach and a rush to ensure that you can just be able to satisfy the desires coming out of the United States of America? Or has this been calculated and thought about? This is for me. I don't know what you're doing. Cuba, these people love family. They want an opportunity, but they love their families. And I'm afraid, as I read the story, as I identify these things and the little I know about Cuba, I'm afraid that superseding the government might cause these people to be excommunicated and not necessarily be able to connect with their families again. Cuba is on that list, including Haiti and Venezuela, in this region that has had a ban on going to the United States of America. Now, America could do as it pleases, as she wishes, which is fine. We don't have a problem with that. But has anyone taken into consideration that if these people can't reach America, there is another stop? There's sort of an idea. You know what they used to call us when we were in Cuba? Bamense, right? And they used to say to us that we look like Americano, right? Because we had, at the time, we had all the FUBU and the big clothes and the jerseys. And this was the fashion at the time. And everyone was adorned from the Bahamas in the fashion of America. That's how we're viewed in the Caribbean. That we're a little America. This is how we're viewed in the throughout the Caribbean. Whether it's because of our geographical location, whether it's because our presentation, whether it's because of our mindset and relentless consumption, we are viewed in a particular light. And as a result of that, if they can't reach America, then where's the second stop? I know that between Arawaki and Sanders Beach, every so often, if you'd pass there, you'd be able to see a couple persons of foreign descent just walking up and down, maybe on the bus stop and so forth and so on, especially through that corner right there on the southern side. There is a contingent of Venezuelans living in this country as a result of what has happened in Venezuela. There is an ever-expanding contingent, a tribe, legion of Haitians that are no longer coming, but now my understanding is that they're coming by plane, relentlessly. That despite the turmoil that exists in Haiti right now, there are flights, significant flights that are touching down daily. And those persons are coming here as visitors. But what's going to happen? Has there been any consideration in the midst of our desperation, in the midst of our need to understand the other man? This is a very difficult thing that you've done. And once you acquiesce, once you genuflect, once you yield to the desires of America in this particular state, they will never stop. The next thing is they're going to ask you questions about your relationship with CCA. With the CCP, I'm telling you the truth. And now you're going to have to question the loyalty that you've placed on both America and China and make a determination as to who will be more beneficial for you from a futuristic standpoint. Why place yourself in that position? Why? Why? If our Minister of Foreign Affairs could take on this kind of position and indicate to us that we must, from an educational standpoint, give consideration outside of America for our children to be educated, maybe we should give consideration outside of America for our travel as a collective. It's time for us to see the world anyhow. I know more about America than I know about. We need to be able to give a deeper consideration to our position. I want to talk like this today, guys. I want to be able to talk about immigration. I want to talk about this ban associated with these particular things, this ever-expanding ban, how we've gone from a tariff war and a pause in that now to being able to identify that there's an immigration war and the same effect is in these particular places. I want to talk about our sovereignty and whether or not we've identified internally about our plan. I want to talk about that and identify whether or not we're prepared for a significant shift, and it's really going to be a shift in this country over the next decade. Let's talk about that. When I get back, I'm going to open up the lines 323-623-2325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere for the family of violence, 242-300-5720. Hit me up, 422-4796. Quick commercial break, guys. Going to be right back after this. Foundation. Foundation.
It's time to upgrade the way you enjoy at-home entertainment. Alive Fiber is here. Enjoy all your favorite channels and streaming apps, all at affordable bundles, and it's only a click away. Visit www.alivefiber.com to sign up now. Stay connected, live your life. It's good to be alive.
Calling all beer lovers. Get ready for Portside Pints. Join us on Saturday, June the 21st from 1 p.m. to 9 p.m. at Nassau Cruise Port to sample beers from all around the world with live music and amazing Bahamian food. $10 general admission includes a free Portside Pints beer mug, or take it up a notch and check out our exclusive VIP lounge. That's the Portside Pints Beer Festival, June 21st at Nassau Cruise Port. Don't miss it. Visit Facebook or Instagram for details.
You try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers. For window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio, Howard Grant and your company, The Foundation. I just think this is wild to me. I think this is wild that our government finds itself in this kind of a precarious position, or whether it's a design position, or I don't understand this. I got a text right here. I'm going to read this text. And tell you exactly what it says. Hit me up with the text, guys, if you want to be able to do that. 422-4796. Howard, this is just the government's way of backing out. Force the Cubans to leave on their own by offering a contract that they won't take. Open secret, their families back in on Cuba would be affected. This is the text that's coming through. It says, then the government would be free to hire all the Africans, Indians, and Asians that they want to. Or Cuba will switch those doctors out for ones that have more leverage, they have more leverage over. Wonder what will happen. Well, I don't know whether or not they could be able to switch the doctors out, because the article has indicated that the doctors that are here will be presented to those particular things. It says, wonder what will happen with Cuban teachers. Same program. Said, why not focus on that from the USA? I'm sure that from a geopolitical standpoint and from the access that these men have in cabinet to intelligence and expertise and a geopolitical from a global standpoint, I'm sure that they would have been advised that if you do this, it's going to be a trickle effect for their families. If you do this, it's going to be a problem for their families. They are stuck between a rock and a hard place. That's what it is. For them to be able to identify the liberty, liberation, access, opportunities that they sought, they had to get out of Cuba. It's sort of an idea of liberty and sending money back and forth for our family. This is not Dominica. This is not Haiti. This is Cuba. They don't do that. It's sort of an idea that, yeah, man, I could be able to stay here in the Bahamas and make some money and then send it back home. That's no problem. You could always come and visit if you want, and I could come back home. That's not, this is not happening. Okay? Your little tia and tio, your little hija and hijo, they home. And someone else will have to raise these children. These people are affectionate people, man. They're loving people. Peculiar, but hard. And to separate them for that, they only took this opportunity to be able to take, to expose themselves, to help, like I said, the way that they want to, and to ensure that they can take care of their families. I lived in Cuba, ladies and gentlemen, and I didn't live in Havana. I lived in Cienfuegos. I lived in Ciego de Vela. I lived in Cuba. I lived among these people. I didn't, you know, I wasn't in an ivory tower or anything like that. I lived among them. We ate from them every night. We used to go to a complex in the ghetto that was about maybe 10, 15 stories high, right? And we used to go to a lady by the name of Mayate, right? On maybe the 10th floor, right? I can't remember how high it was. And on that floor, all the Bahamian students, because it was only Bahamians, right? We wasn't eating. When you go to the cafeteria, you had to eat rice. And the rice, when they dry the rice out, they dry it on, let's say, the left-hand side of the road. And you're driving on the right. So all the pebbles pop into the rice, right? All the little rocks and stuff like that go into the rice. And so they cook the rice after they try to clean it up in the cafeteria. And you biting rice and bam, you could chip your teeth because you're eating rocks. So Bahamians wasn't going to eat that. The chicken was in, it's in the cafeteria now. The chicken wasn't done well. And oh, we ain't eating this. They're giving us horse burgers, caballo burgers. We often don't know we ain't eating this. And so we went and looked, sought out food. Somebody came back, normally how they do. And they said, listen, I've been to this store and it cost me $2. You wouldn't believe as much food as I get. Boom, 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 boom. We made this one. She had to start taking reservations. And because the Cuban government only gave her a sack of rice a month to survive, the entire complex, somebody called me, man, it's a bunch of us been in Cienfuegos, the entire complex used to bring food to this woman so she could cook for us. And we would pay her and she would pay everyone. Now, these people ain't even supposed to have American money. I'm telling you. And it was taking our money and assisting us the best we can, the best they can. These people love hard. They would help you with their life. That is their culture. That is their heart. And to give them an ultimatum like this, to say, hey, listen, either take this job or go back to Cuba, is a travesty. 323-622-325-4316-325-4259. Anywhere from the family of violence, 242-300-5720. Hit me at 422-4796. Call on the line. Go ahead.
Hello.
Hey.
Good morning, Mr. Grant.
Good
How
morning.
Are you?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
I'm pretty good. Long time. First time I'm calling.
I appreciate you,
in for quite some time now. It's a pleasure to be able to speak to you.
Thank you, man.
I don't know exactly how far you are with the conversation because I really tune in late, so you have to pardon me.
Go ahead.
But I heard yesterday you were talking about immigration issues today, and so that's what I called in relation to.
Go ahead.
The murder concerning the police officer that took place
Sunday.
On Father's Day, I saw something on Facebook that was a bit alarming to me. I think they were saying that the deceased were a Haitian national. Now, I don't know how true that is, but this was on Facebook. And that the other suspect was also on Facebook, and there was something pertaining to that. Because it also was an article written up on, they said that the driver of the vehicle was a lady and she turned herself in. So maybe she did in fact give the police officers the information on the culprit. But what I want to say, it's quite alarming because we know what has been happening in this country for years, Howard. I mean, and to know that the situation is now being compounded, whereas you have a lot of flights coming in from down south, and people are being, placed into our society. And like you and I grew up from the old school time, Mr. Grant, we know that everyone used to be taught how to respect and look out for their brothers and sisters. Manners and respect took us through the world.
Right.
And what I want to say is that we now are faced with a situation where we have a lot of people who are being placed into our society that probably never was taught these basic things that led us or put us in a position that we are in as men and as you know, as a society where we had that respect for each other. And I am concerned about that, because are we just bringing in anyone willy-nilly into this country, in some cases not even knowing who these people are, allowing them to change their name to blend in with us, and therefore, you know, we're going to have a serious situation. Like I said, over the tangled web we weave when our government set out to deceive. Now, idea that the media houses, if these, whoever these individuals are, expose these people by way of pictures, like their photos and their names. Because, you know, these kind of vicious criminals, sometimes people tend to hide because of the nationality. They say they don't want to create no problems in society with this one being against that one and so forth and so on. And so what I want to encourage the media houses to do today, that do exactly what they normally do in the cases of the average criminal. Put their and the names of them so we could be aware and alert of what's going on in our country.
Oh. Thank you, my brother.
I appreciate the time you give me, Howard, because I haven't spoken on talk radio for a little while. But it's a pleasure to talk to you. Have a great day, buddy.
Thank you, man. I appreciate your telephone call. Thank you so very kindly for that. Oh, what a web we weave where the government set out to deceive. I think that's wild. I don't know whether or not the government is set out to deceive. I think the government has, our government has fallen, for the most part, based upon what we're seeing today. From an immigration standpoint, this is that sort of a web that's being woven outside of the country. And the government itself has fallen into this particular trap, I believe. Well, let's call it a quote-unquote trap, right? Because if we look at this and we identify these particular things and we understand that Cuba is our neighbor within the region, listen to me. Let's just shoot a straight shot. There will come a time where this sort of a goodwill relationship will dry up, if it's only for a season, between the United States of America and the Bahamas. America's objective is to find itself in a different position, from a supreme position. America is under the rulership of Trump, being able to find themselves in the position that they want to be able to touch the places like Gaza. They are, I just heard some information yesterday about this potential conversation about being able to look at Iran's leadership and whether or not they take that out. There's so much things happening, and America has its hands, its tentacles in the world. Around the world, our location and proximity and our relentless dependency on America. We depend upon America for our tourism. We depend upon America for our medicine, our food, everything, our transportation, our clothing, our entertainment. We have a relentless dependency upon the United States of America. And because they know they wield this sort of and dangle this carrot before us, they can quickly and very easily shut that off. Very easily. This sort of an introduction about the possibility of being able to cut off our visas was only the beginning. And we quickly genuflected. Okay, boss, boom. Quickly we genuflected to this. No consideration. Decades and decades, Cuba has been educating Bahamians. We can't afford to go to America. Most of us come from government school. We ain't got that kind of bread. The government of the Bahamas ain't got that, because many of us didn't do as well as we supposed to whilst we were in school to be recognized from an international standpoint. But now that we're grown, now that we're old and we can feel our strength, we know we can do this if we're given another chance. Yeah, because we see what life is really about, and we broke. How do we fix this? We didn't have that kind of education in high school. Was a relentless daycare. Yeah, there was no significant emphasis placed in these particular things. Now, oh yeah, 320 of us going off to the United States of America, I mean, going off to Cuba, educated. Doctors come back to this country. Doctors. And look at us now. Rejecting the education that Cuba did not only extend to the Bahamas, but to the entire 45 million of us in this region. And we rejected. Now, we seek to turn our backs on them. Because of the shift of an administration of the United States of America, we're rejecting the sovereignty of our nation and the potential relationships that we've enjoyed for such a long time. This is Bananas. Quick break, going to be right back after this.
The Foundation.
The Foundation. We'll be back right after this.
The Foundation. The Foundation.
It's time to upgrade the way you enjoy at-home entertainment. Alive Fiber is here. Enjoy all your favorite channels and streaming apps all at lightning fast internet. Only a click away. Visit www.alivefiber.com to sign up now. Stay connected. Live your life. It's good to be alive.
Now let me see now. 326 EPIC. Hello? Hello? This Epic? Eckert Battery? This Miss Bueller from round the corner. I hear you're selling tires now on Wolf Road 2.
Praise the Lord. It's about time. I live Fox Hill and Fire Trail. It's too far.
That ain't all. They open Monday to Friday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. on Sunday and holiday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m.
My brother Sam, he's a hacker and he could go right there and get fixed up.
Call us at 326 Epic. We ship also to the family island.
Calling all beer lovers.
Get ready for Portside Pints.
Join us on Saturday, June the 21st from 1 p.m. to 9 p.m. at Nassau Cruise Port to sample beers from all around the world with live music and amazing Bahamian food. $10 general admission includes a free Portside Pints beer mug, or take it up a notch and check out our exclusive VIP lounge. That's the Portside Pints Beer Festival, June 21st at Nassau Cruise Port. Don't miss it. Visit Facebook or Instagram for details.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen. Very quickly, I want to be able to read an article for you from the Tribune on student visas frozen, right? Student by the United States of America. This is an article that was published on May 28th, 2025. Let's see if we can read it. It says, the Trump administration freeze on new student visas interviews worldwide is sparking serious concern among Bahamian students preparing to go to study abroad. You see, with many now worried about delays in their academic plans, as local officials urge them to consider alternative study options. See, Foreign Affairs Minister Fred Mitchell told the Tribune yesterday that the situation reflects a new reality, saying that this is the way. He said that the government is not in the position to dictate terms to the United States of America, or so Bahamians must just adjust. He said the Bahamians have a lot of alternatives, he said. This is what he says. Pointing to the range, right? Pointing to the range of non-U.S. institutions where students can pursue their studies. The directive issued on Tuesday instructed U.S. embassies to immediately halt all appointments for student visas. This is one of the things that they're doing. They're scraping your entire social media history. So they might go back to High Five. They might go all five way back then, right? They might go back to all these things to identify whether or not you speak in the language that opposes the position of his imperial royalty, majesty of the United States of America. Let's have a good conversation. Lines are wide open, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Anywhere from the family of Ireland's 242-300, 5720, hit me up, 422-4796. Call on the line, go ahead.
Hello.
Hey.
Howard, how you doing,
man? I'm good, man. What's happening?
I'm good. Listen, first of all, condolences goes out to the officer who died on the weekend.
Yeah.
Who was brutally murdered.
Yeah.
Your last caller, right, he was hinting that the person who was killed, the robber, was of Haitian descent, right?
Mm-hmm.
He probably was. But my thing is, right, speaking from a person of Haitian descent in this country, right, I think what needs to be done is persons like you and others like who has the platform should highlight the positive impact persons of Haitian descent has also in this country, right? For example, I can almost guarantee you, if not the majority, there are many of students graduating now. And those students who are the valedictorians and salutatorians are of Haitian descent in this country, right?
And hold on,
highlight
hold on,
more. Hold on, highlight
on.
More.
I like you. I like you. But don't go away. Just sit right here. Let's go. Hold on. Because I'm smiling, right? You want me on a Bahamian radio speaking to largely Bahamian population.
Right.
Whether they pronounce it or not, xenophobia runs at an undercurrent in their spirit. My God, I get it. They ain't gonna say this to you because they can say, right, I ain't got no problem with Haitian. I have Haitian friends.
Howard, I know.
You want Howard Grant.
It's obvious, right?
To go through the 5,000 students that graduated and say, out of the 5,000 students that graduated, we have 750 Haitians who have now been, or of Haitian descent rather, who have now been valedictorians in these particular areas. My God, Haitians are doing wonderful in our country. This is what you want me to do?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so, okay, I like that.
So,
okay.
persons like that caller, because I've been following talk shows, and whatever he calls and those like him, they tend to highlight the social ills that a few persons of Haitian descent does in this country, and tries to paint a broad brush on all persons of Haitian descent.
Yeah.
Persons there, believe it or not,
mm-hmm.
they are Bahamians, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Even though they are of Haitian descent, they are Bahamians. Now, I know some Bahamians will not agree with that, and they'll go to their grave that they're not equally Bahamians because they are of Haitian descent. Because, like you said, they're strong and xenophobic.
Mm-hmm.
attitude towards persons of Haitian descent in this country, okay? But, man, there's more positive being done from persons of Haitian descent in this country than negative.
Well, I appreciate your telephone call, my brother. You give me a lot to chew on today. I don't know whether or not I could digest it, but I'm chewing on it. And I just got to see, there is consideration on so many. I don't want to get into it today. But there's a lot of consideration for persons who sit behind the microphone. There is a significant responsibility that we have to ensure that we keep this sort of an idea that rages in people's spirit, right? Yeah, we don't want to incite anything in our society. Yeah, so we don't talk about things that are taboo so much, right? We don't talk about things that provoke that. Anytime I say immigration, boom, the lines light up. Anytime I say Haitian, boom, the lines light up. This is something that runs as an undercurrent in people's spirit in this country. I can play something for you. I want you to know, and I laugh at this. I laugh at this. When we get out, I can be able to talk to you about it. I can let you hear it when we get out, right? Let me take the next telephone call. Call on the line, go ahead. Call on the line, go ahead. Next call. Call on the line, go ahead. Go ahead.
Howard.
Hey, what's up, Anton?
Right on, man. How you doing?
All is well, man. What's up?
Look, you know, some dialogue creates hysteria more than others.
Mm-hmm.
And some dialogue is appropriate for its own standalone platform over others, especially in the national interest.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
And so on that note, I called to speak about what's happening with our neighbors mm-hmm. in the north, right?
Okay.
You get me clearly?
Yeah, Mike, go ahead.
I don't know if you heard the Minister of Foreign Affairs recently in his pronouncement in relation to where the Bahamas stands. Did you?
The Bahamas Times?
No, where the Bahamas stands.
Oh, no. I didn't hear. Okay. It. Go ahead.
I didn't parliament or in an interview, but I heard Mr. Mitchell said that the Bahamas sits in between giants. You didn't hear him say that recently?
No, I didn't listen to that one, no.
Okay. Well, pretty much he's telling you that we're at the mercy of. And that's the reality. I always say, and I've been saying it for about 20 years now, that sovereignty has a price. Sovereignty also has its limits, right? When you are talking in the reality of the scheme of things, sovereignty has its price. Sovereignty also has its limits. Haiti is an example and its limits. Cuba is an example of sovereignty having its price and its limits. We had this conversation as it relates to the new order that the President of the United States was seeking to have, which would not happen. Because there are other powerful players in the world that could press a button just as quickly as he can, or that can disrupt world markets just as quickly as he can, right?
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, who does it hurt the most at the end of the day, Howard?
Wow.
Us. Who does it hurt at the end of the day the most?
Who?
The people.
Yeah.
And of the people, the least amongst us. Which is the majority, unfortunately, right?
Yeah.
And so what he was attempting to do, he had to pull back. Is the 1%, 2%, and 3%ers in the U.S. demanded that he pull back from it because they weren't prepared to tolerate those kinds of net losses, hundreds of billions of dollars.
This is a tariff war.
It's over the tariff war.
Yeah.
It's the similar situation, Howard.
Yeah, but he shifted from one thing to another.
It's a similar situation.
Almost simultaneously, yeah.
Just in reverse as it relates to
Anton, this is a break. I got to go to a break. I got another news. Okay, no problem. I want you to play that little thing before we get out of here. Guys, I thought about this. This was an interview for a British guy who was saying that the foreigners are coming in here. Listen to this.
They're taking all our jobs.
What qualifications do you have?
None. They're taking all the qualifications as well.
Let's take. Remember, guys, get the news and be right back after this.
The foundation.
The foundation with Howard Grant. We'll be back right after this.
The foundation. The foundation.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM.
Foundation. Foundation. The foundation. Foundation. The foundation.
FM Radio, Howard Grant in your company, The Foundation, live and in full effect. Gentlemen, the way that we're taking a nuanced effect to be able to talk about immigration. I'm not necessarily talking about the type of immigration that we deal locally, but, you know, globally, the effect that it's going to be happening, it's going to have locally. That was the intent of the conversation. The intent of the conversation is to talk about what's happening from an external standpoint, shifting policies and positions internally, and causing us to be able to, you know, tear ourselves apart from relationships that have been able to pour into our children for at least a generation now, as it relates to Cuba, and how this trickle effect could cause us to be able to look at relationships such as what we have with CCP right here in the country, right? And as we do those particular things, and as we relentlessly genuflect to what's happening on the United States of America, we find ourselves in this position, even with the perpetuation of this conversation that says there is a surge of violence that comes out of people of Haitian descent in our country. There is no consideration given to the fact that as a result of the ban, they no longer have anywhere else to go. Can I say that? Well, let's just fix it like that. I don't mean that they don't have anywhere else to go. I mean, like, the second of what they would have done for a long time is now being able to be realized as plan A. And our governments are not dealing with that at the forefront. They're not having these kind of conversations at the forefront. I'm telling you, the country as we know it will no longer be the same in 10 years. In 15 years, you wouldn't even know this. If you go off right now and come back in 15 years, you wouldn't know where you are. For a lot of persons, we know this to be true, who would have left Turks and Caicos. And you go back to Turks and Caicos, you don't know where you are. Yeah, because it seems like there is an insurgence. That persons are taking over. There is a tumultuous situation now. Yeah, if I was a Haitian and I was living there, I would try to get out also. If I had the resources. I just said to my father yesterday, it's important that we, day before yesterday, Monday, Sunday, I was talking. I said to him, I said, it's very important that we start to look at different spaces in the world, whether that's in South America, whether that's in North America, and identify high points to buy a piece of property for your family. It's just me and him having a casual conversation. I said, yeah, because for what Dorian has done to Abaco and East Grand Bahama, if hurricanes continue to be able to be ferocious in this particular, like never-ending and ferocious, expanding in that particular way, there's no way that if that hurricane had shifted to West Grand Bahama that we wouldn't have mass casualties. There is absolutely, because it stayed on East Grand Bahama. There is absolutely no way that, listen, the water came all the way in. And I said to my father, we have to consider as a family, as a unit, to find high property somewhere to survive. You're no longer going to get to a position to ride out the storm. It's just what's going to happen. Haiti has bubbled beyond the point of turmoil and riding out their tribulation. They still have aspirations for their children. Yeah, I'm not saying that we have to be the recipient of these things and these persons and their aspirations, but I'm saying that this is what they've identified as the options for them. And we've done nothing about it. We have done nothing to safeguard ourselves. We saw the earthquake in 2010, and the former prime minister let everybody out of the detention center, 100 and something persons. We don't know what it is right now. When we had persons come from the mud and pigeon peas as a result of Dorian and flying them into Nassau and putting them up in Kendall Isaacs and putting them all over the place, we don't know where the majority of these people is right now. They got a telephone. They got, the nurses checked them out. They got a telephone. We don't know where these people is right now. No proper documentation. Nothing. Nothing. You can't track these people. You don't know who these people are. You don't know where they are right now. And the government's consumed and concerned about what's happening from an external standpoint. Okay, America, we've made modifications. Okay, World Bank, we've made modifications. Okay, IDB, we've made modifications. You continue to make modifications to ensure that you can be able to be on good standing with these people, but you don't do nothing for us. You ain't taking care of us. If America ban Haiti, and so you know they ain't getting there, right off the top. If they ban them entirely, and ICE on the ground working right now, these people are not going to say, I am Haitian. I was born in the Bahamas. For those who know that kind of a lingo. Then what's going to happen? You didn't, El Salvador accepted the rejects and said, we'll be more than happy to host them here. We've rejected them soundly. But now, secondarily, do we find ourselves in this position where they'll still show up on our shores? Come on, man, our government needs to create a strategy to be able to deal with these things. And that's what I keep telling you. The PLP, it seemed like they was on cruise control leading up to the next general election, and then they said they have a $75 million surplus and be able to see this. Then boom. Boom. Just like that. Twice in the space of 8 months, we've seen the projection shift in this country. The tariff wars, we've identified the this sort of a language that said that we're going to be able to have steady growth. It's going to be slowed, but it's going to be steady growth. And then we saw right after this sort of pronouncement of what was happening with the tariff wars, that Central Bank and John Rowe being able to say that, okay, things are slowing down. When they made modifications to that, then all of a sudden the forecast shifted and being able to see that now it's shifted again. Come on, man, this inconsistency is bananas to me. We got to do better than this. We find ourselves in this kind of a position where we're only waiting for something to happen in America to make a determination where we are. We lack preparation in this country. Now our children with aspirations to go off to school, they're going to have to ask, oh, what am I going to do now? Has there been a projection that come out of University of the Bahamas to indicate that we could be able to house these people? Because why? Why? Watch me. See, listen, y'all. We need to start using our brains, man. Using your medulla. You have to use your brains. You've been looking for investors to come into Grand Bahama, trying to be able to make a modified space for tourism to come in. You're trying to be able to fix the hotel. You're trying to be able to expand those particular... You're trying to sell the hotel. You finally get the hotel sell. You're trying to do all these things. Simultaneously, you want to be able to create a space for... industry to be able to thrive in this kind of a space. You're not thinking. If they put a travel ban on all these particular things, China's having a problem, India's having a problem, all these particular spaces are having problems being able to get into education in the United States of America, then get an offshoot. Get an offshoot and create a free trade zone, an educational space in Grand Bahama or someplace off of Andres. Think about these things, man. Create these particular things and then say to these teachers who were of Cuban descent or Chinese descent or whatever in Harvard and other spaces, hey, listen, there's an opportunity for you to be able to do something. Or collectively as CARICOM or as a collective, as a nation, as a region, identify a conversation that you could be able to have to educate your people, man. We don't always have to go to something somebody built for us. We can build something ourselves. And that's one of the things that I'm disappointed with leadership in this region. You continue to be able to look at America with you like you begging arms. What are you going to give us now, boss? Let's fix this, man. 323-6232-325-4316. 325-4259. Anywhere from the family of violence, 242-300. 5720, hit me up, 422-4796. Go ahead, caller.
Howard.
Hey, Anton, you back. Go ahead.
You get me laughing at that. Like, yeah, Howard, can you hear Nicoletti?
Yeah, go ahead.
I don't want you to miss nothing what I'm about to say. So.
Okay, go ahead.
You know the nation, in particular the nation, because you're the host for the program. Look, Howard, there are some realities abound, right? That's piggybacking off of where you ended immediately just now, which about Howard. And one of those, or one of the biggest realities that exists in a real way, not just for the Bahamas, but for Europe, for Asia, for Africa, for nations around the world, Howard, is the fact that the cash cow, as the saying goes, is who, Howard?
Who, America?
Who's the cash out?
Who's the cash cow?
America?
As the saying goes,
America?
Huh? Absolutely. No disrespect.
Mm-hmm.
As the saying goes, the cash cow is America. Howard, America, fortunately for us, because of our proximity, unfortunately for the world as it relates to the type of economics that it leads or the type of policies that it practices or the type of government that it chooses to enforce, unfortunately on that end. But the reality is they have the greatest economic economy on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
They're the greatest consumers on the planet, Howard.
Mm-hmm.
And their president, granted, you could question the way he's going about doing it, but their president, you know, Howard, there's a saying, let me localize it. There's a saying in our country, ride the wave with who, Howard?
Brave.
Ride the wave with Brave.
Okay.
If you examine what President Trump is doing, he is telling the world, ride the wave with Trump 5.0. Not 2.0, not 3, not 4, 5.0. Now, what? And guess what, Howard? You can't blame the man. Who is he the president for, Howard?
I can't blame him at all. But
who was he the president for?
United States of America. I can't blame him at all. We are affected by it. And we continue to be able to genuflect and see how we can always... Can you add us into your plans, America? Can you add us into this vision?
Hold on, Howard. Don't jump ahead, remember? Let me get a little point for two in, right? Before you tell me... Anyway, I gotta go.
Go ahead, Anton.
Great opportunity abound, even in what President Trump is doing. There's great opportunity abound. Look, Howard, let's face the reality. And I understand and agree and certainly empathize with all you expressed relating to Cuba, right? But Howard, let's look at the flip side of this, right? If you are on the doorstep of the greatest military might on the planet, if you are on the doorstep of the greatest economic might on the planet, and if they have been under threat over the last 100 years and under attack, over the last 100 years, what you expect to happen, Albert? What you expect to happen if you are going in bed with the people who they are fighting against? What you expect to happen, Albert? I'm asking you a question.
Now, see, you and I can expand this conversation. Are they really fighting against Cuba? The Bay of Pigs then over and done with. The Bay of Pigs is over and done with.
Howard. Outside of the U.S., who's the next greatest
China.
Military might? I know the next greatest military might on the planet is Russia.
Russia.
It ain't China.
I thought you mean economic. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. No, economic certainly, because China finances the U.S. and Russia to the tune of hundreds of billions, to the tune of 15 to 30% of their foreign borrowings. The biggest block of borrowing. None to China. And the U.S. owes to China, but I ain't what I'm talking about. I'm talking about military might. The biggest threat to the United States militarily is who?
Russia.
Where does Russia have a base that's on the American border?
Well,
Cuba.
Yeah, they do.
And
they have a significant relationship with that. Yeah. I understand.
If the world comes to a world war, Howard, that's a threat to the U.S. Unfortunately, it places Cuba in a hard position. But when you make hard decisions, Howard, you have to face the consequences, correct?
Yeah, and this is a hard consequence. Anton, you know I got to let you go. And this is a hard consequence.
One more point before you let me go, please.
Go ahead with your thing.
One more point, Howard. Thank you. There's great opportunity, Howard, despite what is happening with the trade war, despite what is happening with the student visas, as you saw recently, President Trump is using his prestigious universities, Ivy League universities, even against the Chinese, telling them that a part of their negotiating is they have to give him access to their rare minerals, in order for their students or children to gain access to the universities in the United States.
He leveraging everything.
Said it again?
Leveraging everything that they have, yeah.
Everything. That's the reality. As the host of this show,
It is your responsibility to lead the conversation in a direction to help the people to recognize, even in these challenges, there is greater opportunity for the bright-eyed, for the wise, for the visionary. There's great.
You mean
the greatest through, opportunity right now
through for policy
for the PNP government to make inroads in the United States right now, in the midst of these battles, in the midst of the
Anton, I am interested.
Much further ahead,
I'm interested. The language of the government has been genuflection. The language of the government has been we can't do anything. The language of the government is that
I understand where you're coming from. That's why I call to elevate the conversation, Howard. That's why I choose to set aside what I really wanted to say from the other half of the show, the first half, to say to you, it's for you now to help to guide the, and shape the conversation. The greatest opportunities that are going to exist is going to be right now for the Bahamas. An odd geopolitical destination puts us in great proximity to make it happen. Our relationship over the last 100 years with the United States puts us in the greatest position to make that happen. Our dependency on the United States...
Anton, this is a heavy conversation that you have on my lines a little bit.
Our dependency can be used for positive or negative. It's all based upon how you see things, how you are going to move forward and make things happen
I appreciate
for the Bahamas and for our people. Thank you for the opportunity. God bless you, brother.
Thank you so much. That's a heavy conversation that Anton's having. That in the midst of this glass half empty scenario, that this kind of a perpetuation and a position that the government has taken in terms of there's nothing that we can do from America. We can't negotiate with America. America is a sovereign place and a power unto itself. And then simultaneously America coming in and saying, hey, listen, you're going to have to take consideration for all the entire region. You're going to have to take consideration for the relationship that you have with Cuba. And the region being able to genuflect and say, okay, no problem. We're going to make sure that we accommodate you. Remember our relationships. Remember our position. And then about a few months after being able to cancel this thing entirely and then present to the people. This is the government has not used their brains yet. Nothing. They have not used an iota of their brains to have any level of negotiation that we've seen come to the forefront as yet. Nothing. They have not used their brains. They have heard and they have complied. They ain't even complained. You don't use complying and complain. They just comply. And this compliance has now potentially severed relationships that we have going into the future. Relationships that we've had for a very long time that educated so many Bahamians. There are doctors that you go to right now who are educated Bahamian doctors in Cuba. I understand the relationship and the geopolitics associated with what's happening with Russia and Cuba and America and the position of being able to always find itself in a sovereign, you know, supreme state out of the United States. But when are we going to be able to have a plan as a people? Let's talk about it a little bit more when we get back after this.
The Foundation. We'll be back right after this.
The Foundation. The Foundation.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Popeyes is making your pickle dreams come true! For a limited time, enjoy the bold, tangy, and unmistakable flavor of pickles on some of your favorite menu items. Choose from the pickle glaze sandwich, pickle glaze wings, or our crispy fried pickles. Whether you like your pickles crispy or saucy, we've got something for you! So stop by your nearest Popeyes to enjoy the pickle feast today.
Love that chicken from Popeyes!
Now let me see now. 326 EPIC. Hello? Hello? This epic? Echid battery? This Miss Beulah from round the corner. I hear it too.
Praise the Lord. It's about time. I live Fox Hill and Fire Trail. It's too far.
That ain't all. They open Monday to Friday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. on Sunday and holiday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m.
My brother Sam, he's a hacker, and he could go right there and get fixed up.
Call us at 326-EPIC. We ship also to the Family Island.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Foundation.
And we're back, guys. Let's go straight to the line. Lines are wide open. 323-622-32-325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere from the Family of Islands. 242-300-5720. Hit me up, 422-4796. Caller on the line, go ahead. Caller on the line, go ahead. Hello? I can hear you. Oh, my God, you put the thing down and go on to the kitchen. Okay, we can put you on hold and come back. Call on the line, go ahead. Call on the line, go ahead. Okay, let's try one more. Call on the line, go ahead.
Hey, how you doing? Just let me turn this radio off, Howard.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, yeah, Howard, T. Allen Johnson here. Just, you know, I'm trying to make a very important issue about what the PLD could do. Now, I don't want to get political, but I could just say that there's another party that's going to be taking over, will do. And, you know, you spoke about education. I don't know if you saw my letter to the newspaper on us becoming a education destination.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a tremendous amount of opportunities for us.
Anton, see, Alan, before you get into this, how come you and I and so many persons on this radio could sit down and identify what is the deterrent? What is that sort of that drag, right? That headwind that stops the government from being able to tap into true creativity and at least take a chance on prospects and ideas? What the hell they don't just try? Why they don't just try?
Because what happens is you have to get over your head giddiness to trust that you know some things, but you don't know all things. And then there's a concept that you've mentioned over and over again where people want to become the intellectuals among the public, and so they need you to remain small so they can appear big. They need your idea. They need your vision, but they don't need you. And that's why you need leadership that recognizes they have to develop an environment so that each of us can find our purpose, so that each of us can develop our passion, so that we as begin. And so what it is government's responsibility is not to do these things. So when you have leadership, understand that government's responsibility is creating legislation, policy, process, procedures, and programs to develop the environment for its citizens to thrive. Then you have a government that understands the cooperation of citizens in the development of these things. Howard, I will send you a research across three AI platforms where they actually went back, and this surprised me, not just me, but some others, where they recognized that we were making mention of these things going back to the early 2000s of where the Bahamas needs to do. And it tells you in details what the Bahamas needs to do. And it actually referenced stuff like Alan Johnson says this in 2013. I forget the professor name who said this in 1997. It gives you a list of all the people who have spoke of this, and some of them are no longer with us. Mm-hmm. And so then you have to ask yourself, AI is now recognizing these things to say, and you hear me say this often recently, in the second 25 years, beginning of the second 25 years of the 21st century. And this is not me. If you do the proper prompting, it'll tell you that AI will tell you the Bahamas economy hasn't taken the shift that is necessary over the last 20 years. And so it says that we are now at an inflection point. And that's where...
That's heavy what you're saying, but we could see that. That's the truth. Let's you and I take this 2 seconds and do this. Over the past 20 years, let's go 25 years, right? From 2000...
Right, 24... Actually, they say right? 24 years, right?
Over the past 25... Right. From the interest in, from Y2K rolled in, and Hubert Ingraham was sitting in the seat, right? And then the rollover to the PLP, leadership has relentlessly looked at the past and sought to be able to put in more and more infrastructure. Okay, maybe necessary, but they have not paired it with futuristic concepts and growth that can prepare our citizens for the future. I agree with this concept. And we didn't need AI to say that. We could look on the ground and say we've not moved for 25 years in this country. And that's unfortunate.
Well, but the beauty of it is now, we have the opportunity, and this is why we say that we have this inflection point. We have the inflection point not just of economics and other things. We actually have the inflection point of leadership, where if you look at the leadership we have, you have the simple question to ask. If they could, why haven't they? If they didn't, it creates even a larger point that should scare you.
I think if they could, it exists for everyone, accessible, right? Yeah. If they could is a cloud out there that you could just touch into and tap into. They don't know how. They just don't know how. And they don't have the mechanisms.
Let's use a conversation that the Prime Minister Davis had in Life at Key, I think a Christmas or two ago, where he said the boundaries, that he will tear down boundaries. If we have a conversation in the context of today, the boundaries that he promised to tear down is no longer there. It's like he's standing in the field, so he's going to tear down this wall, and those with sight of today and tomorrow are saying, what wall are you talking about?
But the walls exist. The walls don't exist from an international standpoint. Let's take media, for instance. Let's take media, for instance. No one is running into Fox News. Don Lemon do not care if they fire him. No one, these Meghan Markle, all these other people, well, not Meghan Markle, what are these people name? All these people who on Fox News and other spaces recognize that there are no longer walls to be able to keep them. You got places like GoDaddy News or Daily News, yeah, or all these other places.
All of these various different.
So the walls are down.
They create their own platforms, right?
Walls are down, but walls still exist in this country. In fact, it's a labyrinth in this country.
But here's the problem. The walls exist in the minds of behemoths because we won't have those that know have the other conversation. This is where your platform is supposed to be to tell them, here is how you can now use the digital economy, and we talk about these 30,000 rooms to be built, that you can tokenize, which is nothing more than a digital plan that allow individuals to move onto this new concept of blockchain and these things. And you say to them, if you need $1 million, come in. How hard is it for you to find even the 24 million tourists in Florida, 40 million tourists in Florida and these other places, because you have access to the data, to find 1,000 of them to invest in this business of yours, or even
I don't think it's 100? Hard at all. I don't think it's hard at all. Because
no, that's what I'm saying. But see, Americans need to invest. Do you know the DARE bill? The DARE bill, which does it now, but even with slight modification, could get us to blow away the tourism economy by actually creating the type of environment you see in TCI and other places. But we're looking at our banks where we say, oh, they have $3.5 million in lazy money. Oh, they have $4 billion and $3.5 billion in lazy money and $4 billion in dead money sitting in banks and repossessed buildings and old buildings and whatever. But the government has to be able to see that, guess what, if we make a way for hundreds of thousands of behemoths to bypass that $3.5 billion and bring new money into the country, because foreign exchange is about protecting what goes out.
I'm convinced. See, Alan, I got to let you go. I got a lot of telephones. I'm convinced. I appreciate your telephone call, see, Alan. I'm convinced, just by you saying that whether it's $3.5 billion of lazy money, $4 billion of non-productive money that's sitting in the bank, and I'm just convinced that there must be and I know 52 can kill me, but this is a thing used to be able to run freely in my mind like a chicken, right? A free-range chicken in my head. There must be some sort of conspiracy to ensure that we keep the population. This have to be by design. It cannot be that you guys in, whether it's the private sector, whether it's the public sector, whether or not you're in banking, whether or not you're in business, whatever subsector of business that you're in this country, and you recognize that you are the proverbial gatekeeper or the actual gatekeeper for growth, development, expansion in this country. It cannot be that after all this education, information, exposure, understanding, so forth and so on around the world, that you have colleagues that have gone off to school with you, where you've been to Yale or Harvard or Howard or wherever you've been around the world, and you have colleagues who are now preparing themselves to be able to strengthen up the middle class in their country, United States of America, and other particular spaces, that you come home. You come home to this place, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, with the same concepts, ideas, and I believe, hope, the same desire to be able to see a significant set of expansion, then you get in the job. You get in the job, and then all of a sudden, you slow right down. This have to be by design, that somebody had to say to you, now watch yourself. No, we can't give them people a loan. No, we can't give those people a loan. We can't do nothing like that. It has to be by design, sit at the helm. That leadership, whether it is FNM or PLP or any other leadership in the background, from a private sector standpoint, wishes to ensure that the only way that they could survive is with monopolies, that the only way that they could survive is without competition, that the only way that they could survive is to buy into the potential competition. And for truth, the truth of it is that you now have your hand or your tentacle in everybody's business. That is the only way that you could survive. There's have to be something wrong with this. That if I present a prospect, a concept, or idea to the government of the Bahamas, that they have to take their time to find out whether or not their friends, families, and lovers find this interest in these particular things that they potentially invest in it before they recognize the wisdom and being able to invest in the future of this country. Something got to be wrong with this, man. That if we look at this, this is by design alone. You cannot be this smart and this dumb at the same time. I am absolutely confused. How can you look at what's happening around the world and ingest information? You're eating Reuters. You're reading AP News all the time. You're all about in Fox, MSNBC, CNN, World News, Al Jazeera. You consume an information and you do nothing with it right home. You're sitting in this position as a gatekeeper to ensure that no Negroes get beyond this point. And looking at this and I'm frustrated, man. And I promise you, the FNM administration that they placed at the forefront has not given me the type of language that says to me that we're going to be a change. They're not. Many of them were sitting in the same ministry, in the same cabinet with Minnis. I promise you, I look at this. As I look at the PLP, who is almost on cruise control now, almost like they feel as though we've won the next election by the perception alone. And we're just cruising into this particular thing and not dealing with things like corruption and immigration and education. They're not dealing with these things. I got a call yesterday and says, Howard, no one's dealing with murders. No one dealing with that. In a society, no one could leave this 21/7 without you knowing. And you still can't take hold of this place. No one could just hurry up and run and jump on a plane and leave Nassau without you knowing. And you cannot monitor and identify how to be able to deal with these things. However, $1 million go missing. Allegations and speculations of all the persons associated with that particular robbery are dead and gone, and not a dime come forward. What is going on in this country? What is going on in this country? What is going on here? This got to be a conspiracy to keep us to nothingness under the thumb and heel of these men. And I don't want to be here. I just want an honest and equal opportunity to fail. I want an equal opportunity to fail, just like the next. Let me present my concept. Let me get equal and fair access and opportunity, just like the next man. And if I fail, I fail. I don't want to fail before I start. That's discouraging, man. Let's do something about that. Let's take this last commercial break, guys, and get right back after this.
foundation. Foundation.
The Foundation with Howard Grant. We'll be back right after this.
The Foundation. The Foundation.
At Cleveland Clinic, care is everything. So when your primary purpose is to care for the world, you'd start with your community. Until you're accessible anywhere, you make complexities your specialties and put compassion before anything else. All to redefine what's possible for everyone, everywhere, for every care in the world. Cleveland Clinic.
He is the king of crunch, the master of flavor, and he's going to set your taste buds on fire with the new King Crunch sandwiches at Burger King Nassau. Crispy fried onions, pepper jack cheese, and bold chipotle sauce, plus fixins covered patty or two flame grilled beef patties on BK's new King Crunch sandwiches that are bigger, better, and bolder than anything around. And they're only available at Burger King Nassau. Try one today.
You work hard, you do your best, but sometimes a little extra support can make all the difference. At Fidelity, we offer personal loans to help with whatever financial challenges life brings. We offer quick, hassle-free, stress-free loans ready whenever you need it. Inquire and make that move today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Great news! Ron's Electric Motors' new location on Cowpen Road, right next to Island Luck, is open Saturdays and Sundays. So for those needing repairs on electric motors, generators, welding machines, water pumps, battery chargers, electric lifts, transformers, and power tools, Ron's Cowpen Road location can have you up and running on weekends. Don't forget, you can still visit Ron's Electric Motors on Wolf Road and Claridge Road, and now Ron's new location on Cowpen Road. Dial 356-0249 or 323-5255.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Foundation. Foundation.
And we're back, guys. Let's read a couple of these texts and then get to, I think I got two telephone calls on the line. It says, good day, Howard. The immigration problem we have in the Bahamas could have been rectified a long time ago with legislation. What our politicians do, both sides, the FNM and the PNP, we could have used the Department of Immigration to undergo a census, creating a comprehensive report that lets us know how many foreigners are here. Like I said, we need to naturalize all those illegals who have been here for over 30 years. If they don't come to be naturalized, deport them. Simple. We need our government agencies to do their jobs. Even though at this point, every single government agency has been inflated by foreigners, children who are born in the Bahamas, and the Department of Immigration specifically. This is a text that's coming through, right? Let me see if I can read another one. So it says, Howard, we could chat for days about the solutions after solutions, but the masses have their T-shirts and bottles and the stacks of contracts. They are not on board for change. There's a text that's coming through. Right. Let's see if we can find another one and read that. It says, good afternoon, Howard. In response to the caller of the Haitian descent, does he realize that the root of many of the societal issues and the deterioration of our education system and root causes of the deterioration of our public education system is due to the overcrowding of our classrooms by the offspring of immigrants, most of them here illegally? Those children have been on the backs of Bahamian children. That is not a cause for celebration. It is a slap in the face of Bahamian parents and children having to contend with the challenges they face due to the overcrowding of classrooms. That's a text that's coming through. Let's see if we can read a couple more texts. It says, Howard, Anton is lost. China's the second in the world military might, with Russia third. He needs to stop spewing incorrectness. Government is too busy lining their pockets with no-bid contracts to use their brains, right? This is a text that's coming through. And traveling to use their brains. This is a text that's coming through. Of course, it's by design, Howard. The mediocre can't be intelligent. People with ideas getting opportunities to not need them. Okay, let me see if I can fix this. Let me help you with this. Of course, it's by design. The mediocre can't be intelligent. People with ideas don't get opportunities. They need a poor and struggling populace in order to keep power. That's what he's saying. He says, I listen to your show. I'm going to read it. I listen to your show for the last 3 weeks, and people listen to this garbage daily. This is Howard. He says, wow, bro, all you're doing is rambling with any substance, right? He says, you mentioned, why do you listen for 3 weeks? I don't understand. I guess you don't have anything to do. Maybe you're not employed. I'm not fighting you. But this is for activation. Someone said to me yesterday, Howard, maybe you're going over people's head. You know, we were having a conversation, Garth and I, and I felt myself going a little bit deep, right? And I realized that this conversation is not for 400,000 people. It's just not. It's just not. It's nothing that you do, your purpose, your call, your position. As a doctor, you're not going to be able to serve 400,000 people. As a lawyer, you're not going to be able to serve 400,000 people. If you work to Wendy's, you're not going to serve 400,000 people. It's just not. You have your niche. You have your subsector. You have your grouping. You have your 5,000. You have your call. You have your 12. You have your tribe. And you release what's in you for those particular persons with an expectation or desire that this could be able to touch something in you and you touch someone else. If this ain't for you, cousin, I'm not going to fight you. Praise Jesus. I just don't understand why you will continue to be able to listen after 21 days. You know, it takes you 21 days to make a habit. So now you have a habit of listening to me. So keep on fighting me. Praise God. I'm not going to fight you. Let's take a telephone call. Go ahead.
Hey, Howard.
Hey, what's up, Nico?
How you doing, man?
Everything good, man. What's happening with you?
Oh, everything's okay, man. Everything's okay. Listen, just bear with me. Fantastic show, and the content it's a timely discussion. And what I'd like to do, in a simplistic form, what's going on? I've been listening to the show quite carefully today, and many variables have been cursorily touched upon, right? And the basis of your discussion is pretty straightforward as far as I'm concerned. And these numerous variables are clouding the reality of what's occurring globally, and I'd like to get into that. Primarily, we as Bahamians are Bahamian-centric, right? Mm-hmm. And things on the outside don't really matter. But what has happened since Mr. Trump has gotten in has flipped the landscape, if you will. Mm-hmm. Yep, put everybody on its head. Mm-hmm. The president was mandated to drain the swamp. And you've heard me use this word over and over and over and again. Mm-hmm. And he is doing that. Now, it's proverbially, you know, stroking a cat from tail forward, right? Everybody is getting upset, but he was mandated to do it by the Bahamian, American people. Now, and doing this, he's going after the illegals, the 10 million that were allowed through under the Biden administration, and he's trying to shore up his country. Now, he's leading by example. What is he doing? He's holding a mirror to all governments, showing the reality, forcing them to address the same problem that they are having, right? He's forcing them doing
okay.
to do this.
Okay, let me hear you. Go ahead.
Okay. Now, countries around the world, primarily you'll see it in the United States, you'll see it in Europe and everything else, are being assailed from within.
Okay.
Okay? There's a few countries that are being that are bombing each other. That's a different story.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, it's a threefold thing. They're being assailed. The United States is being assailed from within. They're being assailed by corruption, which President Trump is dealing, so and also the mass deportation and what's going on. And then also, the reality of the situation is the populace, be it educated or quasi-educated, are actually waking up. They're seeing what's going on, and they've had it. Now, the student visas, as far as I understand, are being halted for a number of things because there's agitators that are billionaires within the United States. We're just using them as an example. There are paid agitators, and then you have
so there are lobbyists. There are lobbyists who are who want to be able to ensure that this continues to be able to happen.
Exactly.
Okay.
Right? So the student agitators are something different. So now he's saying, okay, all of these problems are coming through the, you know, these universities and being spread out all over, and he's putting the brakes on it. Doesn't mean that, you know, students aren't going to be allowed back in. But like you said, they're scraping your social media to make sure you ain't one of them. Now, how this affects us is this. In my humble opinion, we are being warned by the reality that's occurring around the world. And I'm going to go back to saying we're being assailed from within, or they're being assailed from within. You bring up the situation with the immigration, and then you have callers saying, and one of the texters are saying that say the immigration department, I think that's what he said, was being infiltrated by foreigners, if you will, or illegals, whatever you want to call them, having children within the Bahamas, and then that particular culture is in these departments. Right?
I'm going to expand this conversation tomorrow, Nico. It's 2 o'clock, so I don't want to be able to slide into Chivago's time, but we're going to be able to expand on this immigration conversation. I appreciate your telephone call. Ladies and gentlemen, I appreciate you being able to dive in with us and talk about these things. I just want to be able to give you my perspective, my position, and understand why we aren't giving a fair shake at real opportunities. Why our government has real opportunities to be able to empower ourselves with creativity, with innovation, and at least being able to step out there and ask the question, hey, what about the Bahamas? Well, it's a good conversation. I appreciate you guys. Going to see you tomorrow. God spare life right here on The Foundation.
The Foundation.